director here at Life Point Marion. And always just like to say, with that in mind, if you're a student grade 6 to 12 or a young adult age 18 to 25 and you're not already attending one of our groups, I definitely encourage you to come see me. You know, we say that we're a church where no one walks alone, and that's a super ambitious goal, but we do that through groups. And so we would like to walk and do life with you in those groups as well. So if you're not plugged in, would really encourage you to come see me after service. This is a bit of a unique week. We wrapped up our series last week called Everyday Faith, going through the book of James, and that was a really great series. But we're not actually starting the next series yet. This is a bit of a, just a unique week. It's a kind of a gap week, and so I could teach on whatever I wanted to this week. So when I saw that I was on the schedule for today, I was both kind of excited and kind of really scared. You know, there's just so much that I could have taught from. I could literally teach about anything, and there are infinite sermons that could come from the Bible. So how then could I possibly choose just one thing to teach on? So I spent a lot of time in prayer, and I really felt like God was leading me to Life Change Sunday that happened a few months ago. If you're here and you were here for that day, you remember what happened, but if you weren't, I'll fill you in real quick. Life Change Sunday, it's a unique Sunday at our church where we do spontaneous baptisms. Typically, that's not how we do it here, but that day we did it that way, and there were people that day in our church, members of our church, who shared testimony about what God had been doing. And I remember speaking with one of the people who decided to get baptized that day. And they had mentioned how they heard testimony that just resonated with them. They felt like they were going through the same things that the person that had shared the testimony was going through. And through the sharing of testimony, they were moved to take a step of faith. And that really got me thinking. You know, how many people are out there and they're just one testimony away from salvation? There is so much power in testimony. And so that's where God led me to. That's what we're going to be talking about today. So I'm going to go ahead and pray for us, and then we're going to dig in. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are so good. You are so powerful and mighty. And I just pray, Lord, that your power would fall here today. That your Holy Spirit would descend upon us, rest upon us, open our hearts, open our minds, open our ears, that we would hear you, Lord. Whatever you're wanting to speak today, Lord, would you speak it and would we receive it in faith? In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so to start out, we're going to be in the book of Revelation, in Revelation chapter 12. We're going to be reading verses 7 through 11 together. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn there. If not, that's okay. The verses are going to be up here on the screen. So let's read through this together. It says, "Then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, 'Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God, and the authority of his Messiah, for the accuser of our brothers and sisters who accuses them before our God day and night has been hurled down. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death.'" So, pretty crazy scripture here. We see this picture of a battle going on in heaven, which is just a crazy thing to think about and conceptualize. Like, there's a war going on in heaven, and it's between Michael and his angels, and Satan and his angels, and Satan's defeated, and he's cast down to earth to deceive everyone on earth. And then we read that they who are on earth, they overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimonies. I think all of us are probably pretty familiar with this idea of overcoming by the blood of the Lamb. See, Jesus, he lived the perfect life in our place and took our sin upon himself on the cross so that when we put our faith on him, His righteousness is placed on us just as our sin was placed on him. And by the blood that he shed, we are saved. That's the gospel. And we overcome by the blood of the Lamb. But in Revelation, it says they overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, which is just super interesting to think that in the same breath, our testimony gets lumped in with the blood of the Lamb. And just to be clear, we are saved by Jesus' act on the cross and that alone. There's no work that we can do to save ourselves. We are saved by Jesus and Jesus alone. It's not our testimony that saves us. However, when it comes to triumphing over the enemy, our testimony plays a huge, huge role. It's one that we can't look past. And so we're going to dive in on testimonies. So what is the definition of testimony? Just to make sure we're all on the same page. The definition of testimony is a formal statement about what is true, especially in a legal context, given by a witness under oath. So typically, a witness will be put on a stand in a trial, and they will give testimony about what is true, what they've seen, what they've experienced, right? And I think that definition probably serves us well, but we're not living our lives in a court of law, right? So I created another definition for us for the sake of today's message on testimony. So when we think about testimony, I want to think of it in this way. It's our declaration of witness to what God has done in our lives. That's what our testimony is. It's our declaration of witness to what God has done in our lives. And we see a pattern in the New Testament of people sharing testimony about what God has done in their lives. People have encounters with Jesus, they have encounters with God that then moves them to share that with other people. That's really, you know, how the gospel was spread. But we see, there were many examples in the New Testament where this happened. There was a leper cleansed in Luke 5, and after he was cleansed, the news about him spread and ended up that there was crowds of people that came to Jesus to see Jesus and be healed by Jesus. In Luke chapter 8, there's a man with a demon. Jesus delivers him from this demon and then commands him in verse 39 of Luke chapter 8. He says, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." And so the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. There's another example of a Samaritan woman at a well that Jesus meets. And he has this really unique encounter with this Samaritan woman. It would have been really crazy for a Jew to talk to a Samaritan person, let alone a woman. But Jesus has this encounter and it changes this woman's life forever. And then in verse 39 of John 4, we're told that many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. Testimony is so important. It's so important. And there's a common denominator in every testimony that's ever been told. It's that they had a personal encounter with Jesus that changed them forever. That's the common denominator. If we want to have a testimony, if we're going to share a testimony, that's got to be part of it. You can't have a testimony about Jesus and not have encountered him personally. So I want us to ask ourselves this question: have we had a personal encounter with Jesus? If not, that's where we start. And that's really the turning point in every believer's story. There was a pre-Jesus and then Jesus and then post-Jesus. That's the turning point. That's the starting point for our new stories and our new lives in Christ. And then from there, we're told to be witnesses. One of the last commands that Jesus gave before he ascended back into heaven was in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. He says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So just like a witness is put on stand in a trial, we're living lives as witnesses to Jesus and testifying of what he's done. So how then, you know, the verse in Revelation says we triumph over the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimonies. How then do our testimonies triumph over the enemy. I've got 3 points for us on how our testimonies triumph over the enemy. The first point is testimonies give God the glory. We live in a world that's always wanting to take the attention off of God and really put it onto ourselves most of the time. We live in a society and a culture that runs on self-sufficiency. We always want to be taking the credit for our accomplishments and the things that we do. And really, the enemy, his main goal isn't for us to serve him. It's just so that we won't serve God. That's all the enemy really wants, is for us to not serve God. And so any time that we take the attention off of ourselves and put it back on God, God's glorified. And wherever God is glorified, the enemy is defeated. Our second point, testimonies grow our trust and our confidence in God. God does these things in our life, and they're amazing. But he doesn't just intend for us to forget about him. He wants us to look back on those things. Every time God does something in your life, it's like he's building brick by brick a house of your faith and of your testimony. And every time something happens, it gets bigger and it gets stronger. He does all these things to grow our confidence, grow our trust in him. And the more he does it, the easier it is to trust him. And, you know, this is something I've experienced in my own life. About a year ago, I was unexpectedly laid off from my job. It was just a random Tuesday or a Wednesday, and I went into work, and it was just like any other day. And then there was an emergency meeting called, and by noon, I was packing my stuff. Totally unexpected. Didn't see it coming at all. I was blindsided. And I had a ton of reasons that I could have been worried or stressed. I had just gotten married a couple months before that. My wife and I, we wanted to look for a house, you know, and the bills were going to keep coming in, and we really relied on my income to pay the bills. And so, like, man, pressure, stress, like it could have been there. But I remember it happened, and I just had this sense that God was up to something. And I didn't know what it was. I didn't know what he was doing. I didn't know why he was doing it. But my first response wasn't fear, worry, or anxiety. It was confidence and trust. Because God had came through for me so many times before that. He had done so many things in my life before that I just knew. There was never a doubt in my mind that God was going to do something, that he was going to provide for me. Our testimonies provide confidence and trust in God over time. And lastly, testimonies touch people. You know, I shared that story about Life Change Sunday and how somebody was moved to make a decision for Jesus by testimony that was shared. And that's a huge part of testimony. But testimony, it does more than just that. It encourages people. I know whenever I hear somebody's testimony about what God's doing in their life, gosh, like it just builds me up. We serve a God who's living and active, and we know that. We know it. But when we hear it, and we see about it, it is just so good for our souls to see God moving. It's encouraging. You know, we can relate to it and can make us feel like we're not alone in the things that we're going through when we hear testimony about someone who's gone through something similar. It can give us hope. It can increase our faith. Testimonies touch people. They're super important. So then how do we share our testimonies? Our testimonies are meant to be shared. How can we share our testimony? I've got 3 more points for us here. First one is get to know people and let them get to know you. I think the best I've ever been at sharing my testimony is just when I've been in authentic relationship with people. It seems a little counterintuitive to get to know someone in order to share your testimony. And just to be clear, we shouldn't get to know people just so we can get that first instance where we can get that into the conversation. We should be really seeking real and authentic relationship. But when you get to know people and they get to know you, they're going to get to know Jesus in you. If you have a testimony, they're not going to be able to get to know you without knowing that. If Jesus really has done things in your life, in and through you, if he really has changed you. Which kind of leads us to our second point. Saturate your lives with Jesus. Sharing Jesus gets easy when your whole life is just saturated with him. You know, we don't have an issue talking about things that we like. We don't have an issue talking about our hobbies. How easy is it to just talk about culturally relevant things, whether it's sports? How easy is it for us to talk about our jobs? How easy is it for us to talk about the weather? You know, like, we can talk about so many things so easy, and it doesn't feel like work. It doesn't feel like it's difficult. It's just what we talk about. It's easy. If our lives are saturated with Jesus, and just be clear, there's no area of our lives that we can't saturate Jesus with. We can bring him into everything. Then sharing your testimony is going to be easy. It's not going to feel like work. Our last point is be open and honest, even if it's uncomfortable. This is just a harsh reality. We just have to be open and honest. I mean, how many of us just sit there and nod along with things that we don't agree with when we're talking with somebody? Because we don't like conflict. We don't like confrontation. It's easier to just keep the peace. I'm not going to rock the boat. I'm not going to stir the pot. And just to be clear, we don't have to be jerks when we share Jesus. But I do think we do need to stand our ground and stand on the truth. So we need to be open and we need to be honest, even if it's uncomfortable. And just to be clear, a lot of times it probably will be. But that's okay. God's worth being uncomfortable for. Jesus is worth being uncomfortable for. So be open, be honest, even if it's uncomfortable. It's hard to open up. It's hard to get vulnerable. But it's worth doing. And so I thought it would be fitting, talking about testimony, talking about getting open and uncomfortable, I thought it would be fitting for me to share a bit of my testimony. Some of you here know my testimony a little bit, but I'd venture to guess that most of you don't. And, you know, here at this church, we're family. We're one body of believers here. And I'm going to take the first step in being open and vulnerable. So I'm going to share with you a little bit of my story, starting from when I was younger. I didn't grow up in church at all. Didn't really have any exposure to Jesus when I was younger. Came from a divorced home. My parents were always kind of like on again, off again when I was growing up, and then they finally divorced when I was around about 11, 12 years old. Moved around schools a lot. And I really desired, you know, love and acceptance and wanting to be valued. And so as I grew up, I mostly found those things through achievement and accomplishment. So throughout my time in school, I really tried hard to, be a high achiever, whether it was in sports or academics. I was also very much a chameleon. I felt like I could just shift whoever I was to whatever group of friends I was hanging out with because I wanted to be accepted and I wanted to be loved. And so, you know, I had a very shaky sense of identity. And, I was living for the world in the fullest of the sense. In my later years of high school, taking up tobacco, taking up drinking. And then around the time I graduated high school, that's when I started smoking and getting high. And that's when my life really went downhill pretty bad. I graduated near the top of my class in high school, but then I ended up dropping out of college twice. Didn't really tell anybody about it because I didn't want them to think badly of me. I had no sense of direction. Had no idea what I wanted to do with my life. I was just lost in the fullest meaning of the sense. I had no guidance. I started to feel like I didn't have any meaning. Started to question why I was even alive. I didn't even want to be alive. Life was just an experience that I wasn't enjoying, and I didn't want to have a part in it, honestly. And I was just bad. Things were bad. And I don't know what it was, but I had this feeling that I just needed God. Whoever God was, I didn't know who God was. I always kind of believed in a creator. It didn't make sense to me that nothing just hit nothing and created everything perfectly just by chance. I never consigned myself to that way of thinking. I always believed that there was some creator out there. And so that's when I really just started seeking and searching for the truth. I started praying to God. I didn't know who I was praying to. I'd pray, God, I don't know who you are, but I know I need you. Would you reveal yourself to me? I was confused by all the different religions. You know, I tried different New Age spirituality things. I was just a seeker of truth at that point. And I told God, you know, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. Because I don't trust myself with my life. I'm a failure. I don't want to make my own decisions. And eventually, through kind of a miraculous way, God revealed himself to me, and it was like a light bulb went off. And Jesus was real, and the Bible was true, and I knew it. I couldn't explain it, but I knew it in my heart. And so in 2017, 8 years ago, I got baptized, and I'm going to put a picture up here on the screen. Oh, my gosh. Oh, man. That was from Christmas that year, so I had gotten baptized that June. And, man, I was still in the trenches. I was still so depressed. And I was still getting high all the time, every day. Man. Like, I love looking at this picture, because it's just such a reminder for how far God's brought me. Like, I can't. It just makes me emotional. And, yeah. It's crazy. The next few years really consisted of God just working on me, sanctifying me. I mean, it was messy. It was really messy. I was reading the Bible for myself. I didn't really have godly community or discipleship. And it was just really rocky and messy. But God was so faithful and so patient with me. And man, he cleaned me up. He cleaned me up a lot. Ended up going back to school and finishing my associate's degree, and that was all good. Then a couple years after that, that's when God really started convicting me about serving. You know, I knew that I should be serving, and I didn't know how or in what way God wanted to use me, so I prayed a prayer, and I said, God, provide an opportunity for me to serve. About a week later, in the most obvious fashion that he could have, he answered that prayer. I was approached by someone and said, hey, I really think you'd be great in youth ministry. You should start serving. So I did. That's how I got it started in serving. And a couple years after that, God really started to convict me that I wasn't fully surrendered. I gave God a lot of my life. I didn't give him all of it. And so he had just really placed it heavily upon my heart that I just needed to really go all in. I was very much still consumed by selfish ambition, worldly motives, pride. And so there was a mission trip that I got asked to go on, and I didn't really want to go. My excuse was that I couldn't get time off work, which was like half true. And then God kind of forced my hand a little bit. My work got shut down that week due to a parts shortage. So I was like, well, definitely got to go on this mission trip now. So I went, and I went expectant that God was going to speak something to me on this trip. And he did. And that trip was really the turning point in me where I decided that I was going to stop pursuing the things of the world and really go all in on Jesus with my life. And I just felt like I was made to serve in whatever way that looked. I came back from that missions trip and just looked for every opportunity to serve that I could. I ended up at one point serving at 3 different churches at the same time. It's part of like 3 different life groups at the same time. It was kind of crazy. But I remember having a conversation with a good friend and told her what I was going through. And she told me, you know, by the end of the year, I think God's going to have a path for you. I said, okay. She invited me to Life Point and to Life Group, and that's where I ended up meeting Paul. And then, went to group for a little while. Eventually, me and Paul ended up meeting up, and then he said, hey, what do you think about just meeting up every week? I said, okay. And so we met for a good few months. Then our last meeting of that year, that's when he said to me, it's like, you know, I think I see a path for you for ministry here. He had no idea what my other friend had previously told me. It was just like, man, like I can't, that's crazy. Somebody had literally prophesied that over me, and you're saying this now. About a year after that, that's when I came on staff here at the church, and it's been a little over 2 years since. And it's just, it's crazy. It's crazy to me. This was never on my radar. I had never, ever imagined that I would be up on stage doing this. I never, ever imagined that I would be following Jesus. I'd never imagined I would witness any of the things that I have. But I have. And it's real. It doesn't matter where you're at, whether you think God can or can't use you. If you're willing to put your yes on the table, he will. Doesn't matter how deep and dark things look, he can pull you out of it. And he is so good. And he is so faithful. There's so many times that God would have been justified in giving up on me. I followed him pretty horribly and imperfectly. And his love for me never changed. It never shifted, it never faltered. He is so, so good, and I just feel like I'm a case study for his grace, as we all are. We all are. So that's my testimony. I could probably go a bit more in depth and ramble for quite a bit longer if I wanted to, but it's a good brief synopsis for you of my story. So I want to leave us with this question. What is your testimony, and will you share it? We all have a testimony to tell. God's written all of our testimonies specifically and uniquely, and he didn't give them to us just for us to keep to ourselves. He gave them to us to use. He gave them to us to share. And not all of us are probably going to have a platform on stage to share. Maybe we will, but we all have our own platforms. We all have our own circles. We all have our own unique reach. So whether it's with your coworkers, your friends, people that you share hobbies with, acquaintances, family, will you share your testimony? Don't ever buy into the lie that your testimony is insignificant, because God wants to use it, and he's writing it for a reason.